Chris Gasper, and Big Jim Murray.
Give me fuel, give me fire.
Give me that which I desire.
It's Gasper and Murray, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Now, if someone established came out, it was like a surprise show. I'm eating. I'm like, oh, okay. Kanye's here. He's a nut. It wouldn't shock me. Like Kanye doing a surprise show for 8 people at this sushi restaurant. That's cool. Instagrammable moment. But it's just like some local schlub. I'm just trying. It's so loud. Oh God, I will think. What a horror. especially like think about that. Like you're on a Tinder date. You're trying to impress someone. Like, oh, we don't know. This is a really nice place. They got good rolls. What's up? What's up, Salem? Like moving the tables, setting up the big PA system. Oh,
so let me ask this: where would you draw the line? Like, at what point does it go from this is a cool Instagrammable moment to the musical equivalent of Sam Hauser showed up?
Again, you got if it's not a star, I'm out. Like I like Chris. I'm not
Olivia Rodrigo.
It's star. That's okay. If it's a star. But I think of it like this was horrible. But like back in the day, you know, I used to work in at many rock stations and whatnot, and you do the events or whatever, you do a bar event, promote some beer, whatever the hell it is, every once in a while, like, here's a CD, man, like, check out my band. Cool. And then I would drive home and throw that CD out the window. Like, not once did I ever listen to one, because I know what it sounds like. It's trash. Like, if I would have heard of you by now. And so, like, that kind of thing, it's I'm a dick about it. I just have no tolerance for the local musician. What can I say? just want to eat in silence. Get that money however you can. I just don't want to be part of it.
But maybe you look back and it's like you saw one of the nascent moments of a superstar. Like, you knew about this person before anybody else. Like, maybe you saw, like, the next Dua Lipa.
There'd already be buzz. Yeah, I mean, what's the chance of that? Like, that's like hitting like $100,000 on a scratch ticket. It's like the odds are not in your favor. The only one I can hang my hat on is like there was building buzz for Eminem at the time.
Okay,
this was I believe February of '99, and I saw Eminem downstairs at the Middle East, where he proceeded to get booed by most of the backpack wearing audience because they were there to see like Mr. Liff and some of the locals who were great, by the way.
Yeah.
But I remember being like. And then 6 months later, he was on the Up and Smoke tour. But that's one I can hang my hat on.
Wow,
like I
really?
Saw Eminem before he was huge. Yeah.
That's interesting.
But even then, I was like, this is kind of annoying. it's very rare that you get to have those moments.
So if the latter-day equivalent of Eminem showed up while you were digging into your sushi, you would leave. You'd be pissed.
Yeah. Who's the now he's huge. Who's the one that... that they even Kiss plays now, white rapper.
Jack Harlow?
Yeah, him. Like, ugh. It's just so...
He has his own KFC meal now.
I saw that. It's just, his stuff is so, so pedestrian. And
I agree.
Ugh.
No, God. Keep going.
No. Oh, really? You don't like him?
No, I hate him. Oh, he comes on, and I always say to turn him, I mean, we're olds now, but I turn to my wife, I'm like, who is this guy? Why is he relevant? Why does he have his own KFC meal? And this, by the way, here's a public service announcement. If you're on Instagram... and you're having a good time, and you want to show me that you're having a good time in a good place, yeah, don't use Jack Harlow First Class. It's played out by
first
now.
First Class.
Enough. Enough with this.
And it's his aesthetic that bugs me more than anything else. His rhymes, I think, are pedestrian. There's nothing exciting or dangerous about him. But it just makes me, like, weep for youth, because it's like, this is who you're hanging hat on? This is, like, the savior right now? The
poor man's Macklemore.
Oh, that's a great one. But his aesthetic bugs me too, because like I don't know, look street. I don't know, have a little dirt on you. He looks like every finance bro you see in the seaport. And this is who you say like you hold up as like the savior of hip hop right now, Jack Harlow. Yeah, you want to buy some Bitcoin from me? I'm Jack Harlow. Get out of my face with this dork. So yeah,
we sound so old.
No, we're right. It's not about okay, boomer. I'm Gen X. We're the second greatest generation. It's greatest generation, then us. Precipitous drop off, whatever. Boomers, Z, your dead last is Gen Z. We all know that.
But please listen to our show because we actually
we're very open minded.
Very open. We love you guys. We love. Please listen.
Yep. Jim. Eventually, like we're gonna need young listeners. Oh yeah, no, I love Gen Z. No, they're the best. Like they get it. Like no, they're. But this kid really. Jack Harlow? This is, we're right. He stinks. It's not about being old and curmudgeonly. Like, no, we have taste. Like, that dude sucks. You can meet Jack Harlow. What's the brewery, the Cisco brewery at Seaport? There's 17 Jack Harlows there right now. They all look the same. They talk the same. That guy sucks.
I agree. I have nothing more to say.
Okay,
I mean,
great.
You're speaking to my soul. Like, I'm outraged by this guy's popularity.
Oh,
it's offensive.
I mentioned in the headlines, here's a segue. This is how you know I'm a professional. You know what else sucks? This cockroach lightning team that won't go away.
Yeah.
And this isn't me. You were asking me, like, what is it that Bruins fans have against this
Mike Vermoorvid loses his mind over this team on Twitter every time they play.
I know he has an asterisk on both of their last Stanley Cups. The first one because the shutdown and where they were at the time of the shutdown. And they ended up winning into the bubble. And the Bruins were the President Cup prohibitive favorite at that time. President's Trophy. You want that thing, that albatross, just a guarantee you're going to lose in the playoffs, by the way. Asterisk on that one because it was the bubble championship. And then they circumvented the salary cap. He has all this stuff
with
that he
Nikita
tweets
Kucherov.
About. Yeah, last year. So asterisk on that one. So like,
he also puts an asterisk on that because the way they broke down the playoffs, it was like, what was it?
Canadian teams against Canadian teams.
Correct.
So they had an easier path. They ended up playing Montreal in the finals.
Yes.
So. It was, so a lot of Bruins fans real bitchy about the Lightning. I'm not that guy. They're so good, they're annoying. I look at them as like, I understand why people outside of New England hated the Patriots. It's that dominance thing. Like, at some point, it's why I hated the Cowboys in the early 90s. Enough! Go away! Yes, it's incredibly impressive, and we haven't seen three Stanley Cup, win three in a row, any champion like that since when we were wee lads, again, Chris and I, Gen X, the Islanders, early 80s. So, okay, that's an impressive feat, kind of neat to see, but they just annoy the hell out of me because how good they are. So that's my issue with them. And I don't look at it as like, they cheated. I mean, so did the Pats, for God's sakes.
Like, that's my whole point. It's like basically, I mean, they're kind of like, the Patriots on ice.
And I don't really hold that against them.
No,
I'm a
good
believer in that old saying. I believe it was from Jesse Ventura. Win when you can, lose if you must, but when in doubt, cheat. That's okay. So I don't hold that thing against the Lightning. It's just that they're so effing good. Like, go away. It's how a lot of fans, I think, felt about the Patriots for 2+ decades, right? So that's what it is with me. And Colorado, like, look, there's a lot of star power. These games have been phenomenal to watch. I don't know how many people are watching. After last night, this is what I felt like going into the overtime game, the overtime period in the prior game. If Tampa wins this, they're going to win the series. And after last night, because Darcy Kuemper sucks, that was a softie he let in by Palat. Like, this Tampa team's going to win again. Like, oh, God, enough. Like, they just bother me that way. Their dominance bothers me.
That makes sense. So they bother you, again, in the way that some people were bothered by the Montana 49ers, or as you mentioned, the Cowboys. I get that, but I sort of pick up on this vibe, and it could be me, I could be wrong, but I pick up on this vibe from Bruins fans that they feel like somehow the Lightning have, like, taken something from them. The way that, like, Steelers fans feel about the Patriots. You know, oh, you cheated and took something from us. This team is a million times better than you.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's not really close. And they wipe the ice with you in these series. Like, you're not close to them. They have not robbed you of any championships. They are better than you. I can see being frustrated because they win all the time. I can see being frustrated because they're manipulating the rules and to have more talent. I get that objectively, but I feel like there's this personal thing where it's like, this team has prevented our team from being successful. And I don't see that because you're not in their class.
Yeah, that's what it is. That I think the Steelers-Patriots analogy is a perfect one. Like, guess what? Like, you're just not on their level. That's all it is. And they certainly are not, even though Patrice Bergeron's coming back. I mentioned this yesterday. This is my opening take with Jones on Felger and Maz. So Joe McDonald tweeted on Thursday night, hearing Patrice Bergeron has decided to return likely on a one-year deal with the Bees. I believe it was either Matt Porter or Kevin Paul DuPont with one of your colleagues at the Globe said there's going to be a sit down with Bergeron and Don Sweeney this week. Like, he's coming back. So what? This is you're running it back? Like, have you watched 5 minutes of any of these games in the Stanley Cup final? The Bruins are not on their level. So what does this do? Like, who does this serve? Bergeron coming back. And I said yesterday, Chris, I'm convinced the people, the Bruins fans that are fired up for this, it's because they want closure. I didn't get to say goodbye to Patrice. I have like a handful of games I'm going to next year. And now I get to say goodbye to Patrice and hold up the sign. Thank you, 37. Thank you. I need closure because I'm like a teen girl.
Otherwise, boy, you're in a bad mood today.
The Bergeron thing bugs me because it further puts a pause on their rebuild, and they do need to rebuild.
Well, what it does, it prevents you from just ripping the Band-Aid off, right?
That's all.
You know, it's sort of like, okay, we're just going to put a Band-Aid on this, and Bergeron's the ultimate Band-Aid. Great player, probably win another Selkie. They'll be back in the playoffs, but are they true Stanley Cup contenders? And it also, I'm glad he's back from the standpoint of, just selfishly, I enjoy watching the guy play, and I think he still has something to give. So just from that standpoint, I'll enjoy watching him. From the standpoint of the Bruins as an organization, though, I understand where you're coming from, because this is weird to say with a player as great as Bergeron, but it doesn't put them any closer to winning a cup. And I think when you look at what they're doing, there is some real contradiction sort of in the offseason plan. On the one hand, okay, Patrice Bergeron is going to come back, but have you looked at the coaching names that they're considering? It's Jay Leach, David Quinn, now Greg Cronin, who used to be at Northeastern. It seems like it pretty much skews that they want a coach that they feel like will relate to young players.
Or be a pushover. Yeah.
But how is that guy really equipped or going to help Patrice Bergeron win another cup?
Yeah, Maz asked at the beginning of the week, he did like, give me the outlook you feel for the four major teams here in the city. And he's like, when we got to the Bruins, he's like, Murray, one word, bleak.
Bleak. Like, even with Bergeron coming back, again, this puts a pause on what they should be doing. I think you need to bottom out to get better.
Look what the Rangers just did. They didn't make the final. Yeah, but you can see the upward trajectory of the New York Rangers. And so, so enjoy it. You know, they'll be where they were this past year. Maybe Krejci comes back, too, and they'll win a round. And then they'll get waxed by Tampa or someone or Carolina or someone better than you.
Florida.
Again, right. So you want to join us, talk about the Bees, Lightning, make a case as to why you hate them. Maybe you put the asterisk on those prior cups. 617-779-0985. Maybe you'd like to join us in ragging on Jack Harlow. I don't understand it. Go to the Seaport. Go to Cisco Brewing outside. Is that Jack Harlow? Nope. Looks just like, hey, over there's Jack Harlow. It's just, that's what everyone looks like now. And they all spit the same game and have the same weak lines and weak flow. How is this? You're just bitter, hater. The guy just sucks. I'm so happy I unearthed this with you, Chris, that you don't like him.
Oh, I hate this guy.
Oh, he stinks.
I mean, that first class song, I mean, that's based, the whole song's Fergie. I mean, look, sampling's been going on for years. Like, I get it. But did he add anything to the song?
I'm going to sell you this Bitcoin. Yeah, there's that girl over there. Take an Instagram photo.
He's like the country music, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like, what was that thing that became really popular in country? What they call bro country or something?
Yeah.
Like all those songs that sort of sound alike. He's like the hip hop version of that.
Yeah. You know, he's just describing like sensations. I'm going to tasting it, eating it, looking at it, selling you Bitcoin.
There's that girl hitting on her, swiping right. Down to Seaport, got this expensive condo, can't afford it, smelling it, tasting it.
Okay, well, all right, I've gone too far.
No, you haven't. Yeah. It's great. You know, it's funny, the way you're talking, you're making him sound like Mac Jones. Maybe he's like the Mac Jones of rap.
Yeah, well, yeah, I see some similarities there, too. It's Gaspar Murray here. This is how you know it's deep summer now. We're not adding Jack Harlow to Mount Shushmore. We can talk about this till 2. 617-779-0985. Back with your calls next.
Chris Gasper, Big Jim Murray, 98.5, The Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is 98.5. Sports Hub.
Sounds like fact, not opinion to me.
This is Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, The Sports Hub. A lot of you waiting, so let's run through some of these calls. Michael in Brookline. Next up here on Gaspar Murray this afternoon. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Big Jim. Before I get to my Mount Shushmore, I have an update for you on food for your trip to Florida.
Okay.
When is that?
That is in like 2.5, 2.5, 3 weeks.
Okay, we have bad news.
No.
Runway 84 is closed for renovation. Okay. But, as always, I have good news for you.
All right.
Do you like Abe and Louie's?
I do.
Okay, right across the street from the Abe and Louie's in Boca Raton is New York Prime. I love Abe and Louie's. New York Prime is better.
Okay. All right. New York Prime. Okay. Duly noted.
Write that one down. New York Prime. And when you go out drinking while you're there, Lester's Diner is open 24 hours. It's right next. It's half a mile away from Runway 84. And it's really good diner food, and it's open 24 hours. So before you sober up, you go back, grab something to eat.
I do love a 24-hour diner. I love that. I always.
Okay,
All right, Lester's Diner, 24. So, all right.
Lester's Diner. And I heard that you guys might be going to Vegas for the Patriots trip.
Not me.
well, I am going.
Okay.
So if you do go, the breakfast buffet at the Wynn is unbelievable because every breakfast buffet is good, but they have a world-class pastry chef there.
Oh.
So all the croissants and muffins and Danish and all that are outstanding.
What do you got on Tom Brady, Michael? I see you wanted to speak about him.
Yeah, he's on my Mount Rushmore. If he's actually going to do something that's worth news to everybody in the country, then please talk about it. But every time he farts or tweets, I could give a rat's ass.
Michael, I'm going to let you go on that. Thank you for the recommendations as well. I didn't want to push back on Vegas much, but I don't see myself ever going there again. It's a young man's game. And the last time I went, I'm like, I'm good. It's too plastic. The place sucks. I hate Vegas now. Like, past like age 27, what are you going there for? I've said this before. If you're a grown-ass dude, you're really pumped to go there, you're going to get hookers or cocaine. Like, and you don't want your wife to know. Like, dude, you just blew up my spot. She knows. Like, if you're past 27... You're going there, like, we know what you're up to.
Well, so tell B-Rob's wife that when he goes for NBA Summer League.
He works, though. Like, so if you're going for work or a conference, that's one thing. But if you're jazzed up at, like, 34 to bro down in Vegas, like, we all know what you're doing.
It's
like,
Mrs. B-Rob now thinks NBA Summer League is a cover for cocaine and prostitutes.
What the hell did he say? Oh, the Brady thing. Yeah, look, I said this yesterday, Chris. I don't know how you feel about this. I'm happy Brady's back. Do a road game probably this year. Like, want to see him. Like, it's great. Yay, Brady's back. I do hate that he is back with the Bucs. I had so convinced myself that, oh, he's going to go to Miami and was going to go somewhere else, and it would have been so delicious if he went to the Dolphins to be all up in your grill a couple of times at the very least this year with all those weapons that they now have there, like Tyreek Hill and new offense that's going to be there with, you know, the shades of from that McVay and Shanahan offense, because it's the fun nerd there that looks like Logic. Who's new to that?
Oh, Mike McDaniel.
Mike McDaniel. I like him a lot. So that was exciting to me, but obviously did not happen. So now he's back with the Bucs, and it feels like, and credit to the Bucs, they knew, like, look, you're a crackhead for football. We know you need it, and the only place you're going to get it is here. So he's back, and now Gronk is retired for now. There was that news this week, but I'm sure Brady could call him up midseason and be like, hey, I need help because camera break blows, and there he goes. But I don't know, the buzz is kind of gone. I'm glad he got his spite Super Bowl there, year one. Last year, kind of disappointing. I thought it was pretty evident in that game against the Rams, like, he's done here, has had it with Bruce Arians' crap. And since Arians has been pushed out by Brady, great. But I just don't think he really wants to be there, and I don't know how fired up I am to see him with the Bucs this year.
I mean, look, I'm always fired up to watch the guy play. I don't know how much longer we're going to be able to do it. I also sort of think secretly there is a little bit of a competition there with Bill, like who's going to last the longest. But I understand what you know he was saying about Brady in terms of, I do think we've reached a point of social media oversaturation with him. I don't need him to chime in on every little thing. And also, I just feel like, and I love Tom, but man, it's really just become one big sell.
Yeah. Oh, everything. And that's the other thing, too. If people are now, look, they appreciated everything he accomplished and love him as an athlete, but you're done with him as, like, pitch man, that part I get, too. And his stuff sucks. Like, that's another
Does
one.
It?
I think.
Really?
Like, it's just,
most of the stuff I bought, I mean, I will say the pajamas are excellent.
Yeah, but this now new, the fashion line he came out with, I think it's bland. And it's just, you know, in, like, lower, you know, like a lower font. It just
the font
Brady,
is it's
like,
pretty, I mean, as the kids say, it's basic.
It is. It's very basic.
Very basic.
So,
I was disappointed because he is such a stylish dude and the whole like Met Gala thing. And you look at the stuff and, you know, I think I texted you. I was in L.A. I, the first time I ever saw it, I was in L.A. at the the Nordstrom at the Grove, and I was like, this is the Brady stuff? It's just like, it just says his name in like block letters.
Yeah.
Like, it could be like anybody's name. Like literally, it could be like Jim. Like you could just say Jim on these shorts or on these tops. It's there's not a lot.
Not a lot of thought behind it. Kyle in Providence on the Celtics offseason. Go ahead, Kyle.
Hey, guys. Do you mind if I take a quick second for some grab ass here?
Please.
So just a quick story on the music in the restaurant thing. I was at an Irish pub back in my hometown, and we're just sitting there trying to get some drinks, and this a-hole comes out and starts blasting away on the bagpipes. You can't hear a thing going on around you. What a terrible instrument. Like, you can't hear a thing. And it's just this screeching sound in here. It's terrible. It's not that you guys are old. I'm only 22. So that's really a bigger problem than just being an old or anything like that. But a quick thought on the Celtics. I'm going to rip my ears off my head if I hear anyone else talk about this. Needing a true point guard on the roster. It's like, yeah, I'll take Rajon Rondo and Ricky Rubio on the roster. I'd much rather see them focus on getting some real championship DNA in there and something that will put them in the mindset, hopefully, to know what it takes to win a championship moving forward. So
thanks, Kyle.
Yeah, thanks, Kyle. I mean, look, you might not need that traditional point guard, and those guys are hard to find. I mean, I would look at a guy like, say, Malcolm Brogdon, who maybe is not a traditional point guard but would be a significant upgrade. But if you get a wing guy that can handle the ball and shoot off the bench, I think that could help you as well. I'm interested in sort of what is Brad Stevens' definition of playmaking? Is it the traditional definition, which would be a playmaking sort of point guard or at least a point forward who can make some plays? Or does he mean, in terms of playmaking, guys that can create their own shots when the shot clock is running down? Because they don't have enough of those guys either.
Yeah, in the beginning of that call, too. So this stemmed from earlier, we heard from our pal Tommy and Lynn, a regular caller here at 98.5 Sports Hub, who said he went to a sushi bar last night in Salem, and a hip-hop show broke out, which I think he was part of, and he went there.
Yeah, he was excited. He knew it was there.
Yes, whereas I can't imagine a greater horror when live music breaks out at a restaurant you're trying to eat in peace, but especially like a loud hip-hop show when I'm trying to have a sushi roll. The Irish bar, though, as the last caller said, that's another one. Oh, man, this shepherd pie looks great. This is a nice, dark Irish bar. The Guinness is poured right. Coming up next here to play the Irish Rover, we're going to be doing covers of the Dubliners. Some goofball with an Irish guitar, with an acoustic guitar in his stupid PA all the way up to 10. Oh, God, can I just eat in peace? These mashed potatoes are so good. All the way up, and you can't even hear someone sitting across from you because it's just so effing loud. The Irish bar is also problematic with that. Oh, God, live music at a bar or a restaurant. It's just the worst. One open line if you'd like to join us at 617-779-0985. Summertime, can you tell? We're all over the place today. Very Celtics-heavy in that first hour. You want to continue to talk about their offseason? Hey, you have at it. At 617-779-0985. Gaspar Murray back after this.
That's an aberration, which I freely admit.
It's Gaspar and Murray.
I'm drunk, you're gross, let's go.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Chris Gasper.
I'm not the one who's red-faced and ranting, so who's the baby?
And Big Jim Murray.
Takes in your face, sports.
Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. And we just had a tire change of sorts. We went into the pit. See, keeping it sports-like. We have lost our producer, our normal producer, Brian Robb, B-Robb of Mass Live, who had to leave because he had to attend a one-year-old's birthday party. Ooh. Love you, B-Robb. Good luck. So B-Robb out, the tire change in, we bring in Matt Stenberg. I don't think I've had you produce anything I've worked on before, Matt.
I don't think you have, Jim.
Well, welcome, pal. I hear you're quite the golfer. I golfed yesterday with our own Howie Sylvester at my local track, Mount Hood.
We got to go out sometime. If you saw me yesterday, Matt, you would have put me in front of a firing squad if you saw the putts I was missing. And I would have deserved it. Literally, I got the yips yesterday. Like,
oh, no.
Yeah, it was crazy. I turned it into like Chuck Knoblauch. I couldn't hit two-foot putts. It was crazy.
Isn't that like the most helpless feeling?
Oh, Matt. Out there? So we got paired with two other older gentlemen, like my dad's age. And at one point, this is how I knew. I was like, oh, this guy thinks I'm losing my mind, because I am. He goes, I missed like a two-foot putt. He goes, you know, you can't let the game get to you. And I was like, oh, no. And I was just in my head and the rest of the four times, on in two, like hitting it straight. Great. The swing felt good. Three putt, four putt, on in two, finishing with a seven. It's, you know what it's like, Matt. And I'm sure, like, I've heard that you have quite the prowess out there on the links. But there's days you want to just throw your clubs into the pond and put two middle fingers in the sky and say, why do I do this?
Absolutely.
That was yesterday.
But that's why it's a lifelong game, right? You have your whole life to try and figure it out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what the other thing. I get. Well, you know, it's always a work in progress. No, I want to be good now. I've spent countless amounts of hundreds and thousands already on lessons and junk, and none of it works because I'm a mental patient out there. But I do love it on the days that it's good. All right. Well, to you we go. 617-779-0985. I just realized I became something I don't like, and that's talking about your golf game. It's the equivalent of, you want to hear about my fantasy team?
Yeah, that
no one wants to hear it.
That should be on Mount Shushmore.
That's going, you know what? Yeah. That goes on Mount Shushmore.
Pack golfers talking about their golf game.
Yep, right on Mount Shushmore it goes. See, okay. We're weaving it in from now till two. Brian and Grafton on Celtics Trade Options. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Murray. Hey, Gasper. Hey, speaking of golf, Murray, did you end up hitting on your card last week? I think you said you had Fitzpatrick. And then my question was on the Celtics. They have a trade exception. Obviously, they have a bunch of them. What about Patty Mills from the Nets? He's the champ. He's won championships. Udoka's coach with him. I think he'd be a great piece. I know they're looking at, you know, home runs like Kevin Durant, but I think at least small moves. I think Patty Mills would be a good upgrade if you could trade like a Pritchard or a Williams for him and maybe a draft pick. What do you guys think?
Thanks, Brian. And I didn't have Fitzpatrick. I had Zalatoris, who the reason it's funny. He's like my favorite golfer out in the tour, and he's a choker just like me. Patty Mills, I like. Yeah, that'd be a decent fit.
Yeah, I mean, if you were to move somebody like Pritchard for him, I could see that. You know, it'll be interesting to see what direction Brooklyn goes in. I think you sort of have to wait a little while to see which direction the Nets are going to go in, depending on what happens with Kyrie and KD. If they don't have either of those guys, it doesn't really make any sense to have Patty Mills. But if KD stays and Kyrie's gone, then Patty Mills is a pretty important player for them. I'm not sure that they would really be in the market of giving him up. You know, the good news for the Celtics on these trade exceptions, and they have a bunch, but there's really three that matter. The $17.1 million one expires July 18th. The other two, 6.9 and 5.9, I believe are the numbers. Those are good until 2023. So you have some time. You don't necessarily have to use those this year. The big one is that one they got from the Fournier trade, which will expire in July.
Larry in Watertown. Another thought on the Celtics. Hey, Larry.
Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Good. Want to talk about potential trade for Smart. I'm not sure if the money works out. Not sure of this guy's contract status. But, Chris, you've touted Kevin Huerter out of Atlanta.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of hoop. The guy in that team who comes off the bench, and every time I see him, he lights it up. Is Bogdanovic.
Yeah, I like him too.
He's 6'6". He's 29 years old. Marcus is 27. Every time I see him, he pots for 20, 25 points. He's got a good handle, moves well without the ball. That's the guy I'd like to see.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think when I wrote the column, I said, you know, one of Atlanta's ball handling, playmaking, shooting wings. So Huerter, you know, or Bogdanovic. I think Bogdanovic is a guy the Celtics have been interested in the past. I think he'd be a pretty good fit for that. I mean, not the greatest defender in the world. Again, this is the question for the Celtics, right? And you've heard Ime say it, and you've heard Stevens say it. They really don't feel like their defense let them down in the finals. And I tend to agree with them.
No, it was their offense.
It was their offense.
Yeah.
But there's a balance there. Can you get better offensively without sacrificing some defense? And I feel like they're so tied up and tied into this
identity.
Defense is our identity. Defense is our identity that I don't know if they're willing to make the improvements and make the shifts and reallocate the resources of the roster to give a little something defensively to add offensively. Because ultimately, I think that's what you're going to need to win a championship. And, you know, they sort of say, you know, don't get high on your own supply, right?
Yeah.
Well, I feel like the Celtics are a little high on their own supply in terms of what they've done, and it was a great season, and I understand why they feel that way. They were the best team in the league for 3 months, but if you go back and just objectively look at those playoff series, yes, you were 2 wins away from a title, but you were also probably one healthy player, Chris Middleton, away from being bounced in the second round.
Simpsons references from when the show was good. Chris shouting out the 10 crack commandments, one of the the rules there, don't get high on your own supply, ragging on Jack Harlow. Boy, what a show here today on Casper Murray. David in the car on Jack Harlow. You're next. Hi.
Oh, yeah. Hey, fellas. I got two things real quick. I'm here for the Jack Harlow trashing.
Okay.
He's walking around looking like a TikToker with a mop on his head. And I asked my fiance about it, actually. She said that everyone loves him because he looks obtainable, but it makes literally no sense to me. Second, it's an honor to be talking to the ghost of Ronald Reagan's past. And I'd love to get your thoughts on the Chris Klemmer train wreck that was last week.
Well, I think that Chris Klemmer did a horrible job on Barstool Idol, and the ideas he brought to the table were just awful. The Jack Harlow thing, attainable? So is that why he's popular with the ladies, and he's become like a pop sensation as well?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, he does. I will say this. I mean, he does seem like a nice guy. I mean, you look at him, you're like, oh, that's a nice guy. You know, just sort of looking at him. But
and there's one line, too. I had to pull it up because I have heard it.
Do it.
The one line in this First Class song that I just get like the, ugh, douche chills with it. You don't need Givenchy. You need Jesus. Okay. Like, and tell that to any girl you meet down the seaport, too, for all your Jack Harlow lookalikes. I can get you this Givenchy and some First Class. Yeah, would you like this, the expensive handbag, or Jesus? Ugh, yeah, good luck with that, pal.
I sell you some Bitcoin, too. You need Givenchy, you need Jesus.
Attainable? And this is why he's popular? Everything just stinks nowadays.
You really got Gen X Andy Rooney.
You ever wonder why? And I told you off the air, too.
You loved it.
As a kid, I loved Andy Rooney.
Oh, I can tell.
It makes so much sense now. The only time I ever got offended by him, I was a teenager, is after Kurt Cobain had killed himself. He went on there on 60 Minutes at the end, and he's like, and it turns out he did have a gun. He said he didn't have a gun. But that's you ever wonder why he said he didn't have a gun, but it turned out he did? And I was like, oh, that's horrible. Why would you say that about Kurt Cobain? He had real problems, as he did. Took his own life, as we all know. And that was the one that really set me over the edge with Andy Rooney. But boy, all you're looking for is to evoke emotion from the audience, and he was able to do that. So, and, you know, I guess he was doing his job there. But otherwise, oh, that man was a crank's crank, and I loved him.
Oh, I can tell, 100%. Yeah. Oh, man, he just complained about everything every week.
You ever wonder why girls today like Jack Harlow, who has no talent? And he really doesn't. I don't get it. But, hey, get that money. Good for you. I got the bag. That's no cap. It's another one, too. You ever wonder why kids today can't say lie instead they say cap? Isn't a cap something you wear on your head?
You're just killing our demo.
Yeah.
Our demo numbers are going to hell.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you guys are like the youngest at the station. Sounding.
Yeah.
Wait till you ever wonder why they won't show their birth certificates or tell their real age?
That's a good point. But it's like, oh, you guys are doing so well. What happened to your demos? Well, Jim alienated our entire demo one Saturday.
Well, okay. With that, let's get to our long commercial-free segment coming up next. We have two open lines if you'd like to join us. If you want to talk Celtics, Bruins, how they're bringing it back next year. Yeah, we're going to bring it back. We're going to be able to compete with the Lightning. You won't. Or any of these other teams that got deep into the Stanley Cup playoffs. What else have we discussed? Obviously, ragging on Jack Harlow, how I hate live music and restaurants. Hey, you have any thoughts on the Patriots? In fact, you sent me something this morning we'll touch on.
Yeah.
It's tears, quarterback tears, courtesy of NBC Sports' Phil Perry. We'll touch on that along with your phone
calls. Also known as Tears of a Clown.
Not
Phil Perry.
Shots.
No, not Phil Perry. But when Maz does it, the segment is Tears of a Clown,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, so when it's done on this station, it's Tears of a Clown. Whether it's me or Murray or Maz, you know. So if we give you our Tears of a Clown.
Okay, we will do that next here on Gasper and Murray.
This is Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Chris Gasper. Oh, Big Jim Murray.
Give me fuel, give me fire.
Give me that which I desire.
It's Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Gasper and Murray here. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Long commercial-free segment. Yeah, let's do a little football here in the off season, the dead time of year for football. But you know, we're professionals here. We'll dig deep. We'll find something to talk about. And one of the things that Chris sent this morning, this was something that Phil Perry of NBC Sports Boston put together. It's his tiers of quarterbacks. Correct, Chris?
Yeah. Yep. Phil's quarterback tiers, and I thought he mostly nailed it. I found it interesting.
Yeah, all right, so looking at this here, he has this up on Instagram. You can go to NBC Sports Boston. So below average. Like, do you want to go through all of them? Hell, we got time.
Yeah, why not? Let's do it.
He says Phil's quarterback tiers going into 2022. Below average. You just tell me yes, no.
Yeah, let's do it.
Jacoby Brissett.
Yes.
Davis Mills of Houston.
I thought this was one of his big misses. I thought he was way too hard on Davis Mills after 1 year to say Davis Mills is below average. I would say he's at least average, so I'm going to say no.
Jared Goff.
Yes.
Daniel Jones.
Yes.
Drew Locke.
Yes.
Mitch Trubisky.
Yes.
Trey Lance.
I think Trey Lance gets, you know, sort of an incomplete. I mean, we haven't seen him yet, but we haven't seen enough of him yet, I would say. I would put him in the average category. No.
The Jets' Zach Wilson.
Yes.
See, this is what I'd push back on, because post-injury, when he came back, he was actually pretty decent, and the turnover numbers went down, too, and I thought he showed what his potential could be and why they picked him so high.
The kid's a walking turnover.
Okay. Justin Fields.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, again, I know it was only 1 year. He doesn't have a lot around him, but yeesh.
I think that kid has so much potential, but boy, is he in a horrific
The Bears are going to ruin him.
And Sam Darnold.
Oh, 100%.
Awful. Average. Again, Phil Perry, NBC Sports Boston, his QB tears. Average. Carson Wentz.
Yes.
He's below average.
Okay.
That suck bag.
Okay.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Definitely belongs in this tier. I might have even put him in good, so I'll say yes.
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, he's average.
Yes, yeah. I wish there was like a tier of between average and good, which we'll get to. I'm a Jalen Hurts Bobo for whatever reason. I think that there's more potential there that is untapped. Jameis Winston.
No, Jameis Winston is below average. I would not have put him in average.
Marcus Mariota.
I'm a Marcus Mariota honk, so I'm going to say yes, but I know you're going to say he's Hawaiian Tebow.
And he's below average.
Okay.
Matt Ryan, average.
I thought this was harsh. Again, I thought this was one of his other big misses. Matt Ryan, with the right people around him, he's a better than average quarterback.
But he's going to have a bounce back year this year.
Yeah. Now, I would say no. I'd put him in good.
So would I. And Trevor Lawrence.
Yes, I agree with this. You know, I think this is fair. He's with a tough franchise, but man, even in that game where they got blown out by the Patriots, some of the throws he made, holy crap. I was like, there's like four quarterbacks in the league that can make that throw.
Okay, so now here is his good tier.
Yeah.
Derek Carr.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is one I would probably knock him down to average. Like, but I just have a Derek Carr bias, too.
I mean, I
just
think Phil's ultimately right, but it's a little painful.
Wee little Kyler Murray.
Yes.
Yeah, good, but that's about it. And I took a step back on him. I was a Kyler Murray stan, but I cannot shake that wild card game against the Rams out of my head. That was such an awful
Understandable.
Performance. Ryan Tannehill.
Hell to the no should be in below average.
Yeah, that's another one. Like,
terrible.
Kirk Cousins.
Yes, I think that's true, but what's the next name right after Kirk Cousins?
Mac Jones.
Oh, so the people are coming around to what I've said. Coming around.
And this is, again, they call him what? Not the mayor, the professor. What do Beadle and Zoe call Phil Perry? The senator.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is even keeled.
He is.
Not a hot take artist.
Nope.
Phil Perry putting
right down
Matt
the
Jones in the good category, along with guys you've compared him with before,
Kirk
Cousins.
And Derek Carr.
Yep. And that's okay. Like, I don't know why people get their backs up about
They just do, you know, they think. I mean, ultimately, I think I have to up the ceiling on Mac Jones a little in terms of what he could be, right? I think that at his very best, maybe he's like Drew Brees, which would be like amazing, right? But I don't think the Kirk Cousins thing should be taken as being offensive like it is. And Phil, who is right down the middle, has him with Kirk Cousins and Derek Carr right now.
Very good. Again, Phil Perry's okay. QB tears. Very good. Now, there's some names on here that I think are elite, but okay. Very good. Justin Herbert.
Yes.
He's elite to me.
Really?
Yeah, and I know
you got to win something.
Joe Burrow, very good.
Yes, I think one more year and he gets elite status.
I would put him in elite. Russell Wilson.
I thought this was his biggest miss. Russell Wilson is a no doubt elite quarterback.
Yeah, and
he is elite with a capital E.
And he took a step back last year, for the main reason he got hurt multiple times, had the hand injury, and what the hell was around him outside of DK Metcalf?
Nothing. I mean, I think people will look back years from now and be like, Russell Wilson didn't win an MVP, and Matt Ryan did. Russell Wilson's an elite quarterback. That's not even close to me.
Also in the very good category, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean, they did win the MVP, but there's still times, like his deep throws at times, like so erratic, and there's still something to be desired there with Lamar Jackson, but very good, fine. Dak Prescott, very good.
Absolutely, he is very good, and he certainly carved up the Patriots. He's very good, and I think he could become elite.
And thanks to that effing Super Bowl, I've lost all the ammunition with this one. Matt Stafford, very good.
Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing more we can say. Like, he won, so let's just move on.
He does belong in the good category, though. Anyone that is truly honest with themselves knows that Matt Stafford is good, not very good. And he benefited
You're not
from
giving
that,
this up?
He benefited from that defense around him last year. And without Cooper Kupp, we are not talking about the Rams and Matt Stafford's
you
Super
know,
Bowl
I got
to
say, though, man, I mean, that you know, obviously what he did to Tampa Bay, and I covered that Super Bowl.
He fumbled the ball late in that game. He was doing everything in his power to give it away.
It's true. Actually, yeah, McVay had that look like, oh, my God, I can't put the ball in his hand.
And it was in Stafford's eyes, too. I was like, holy crap, they're really going to pull this off, and this idiot's going to blow it. But, nope, great defense. What an awful defensive call by Todd Bowles and Bruce Arians together at last. And, of course, without Cooper Kupp, they're not that far.
Stafford
anyway.
Was nails in the Super Bowl, though. I was in the building. Like, he was nails in that game.
Okay. Tenpenny nil. Elite, Tom Brady, of course. Yes.
Absolutely. There should be another category. Other than elite, there should be another category that says G-O-D, and that's Brady.
Aaron Rodgers, elite.
There should be another category that says the Kyrie of football, and Aaron Rodgers should be in that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's taking a step back. I mean, these failures in the postseason in recent years, too. He flat out quit against the Niners in that Saturday night playoff game this past year.
He was afraid to throw a pick. He was more interested in not throwing a pick than trying to win the game.
Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, 100%.
And Josh Allen.
Yes.
Which a couple of years ago, I would have never thought that would have been happening. To truly elite at this point, I think it's Brady Mahomes Allen. Like, I would actually knock Rodgers down a pick.
You would?
I would.
So I would knock Rodgers down simply because the older he gets, the more he's dressing and looking like Jack Harlow, and it's annoying me.
Yeah, what's his latest girlfriend is, what is she? She's like a shaman or like a witch or something like this.
He's gotten so weird.
He really has. Yeah.
So I think Phil was mostly spot on. There's only a couple of these.
The Russell Wilson one, he has to bump up to elite.
Yeah, Russell Wilson has to be bumped up there. And especially if you're going to put Josh Allen in elite, I think Russell Wilson has to be in elite. But mostly, also, you know who's missing from this? No Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, right. Yes.
Jimmy. Where does Jimmy G factor in?
Average. I think he's average. I mean, he can do just enough. But
yeah, I put him in average.
The main one that I think that Patriots fans get their backup with is Mac Jones. Just good going into his all-important second year, surrounded by Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, getting their greasy paws into the offense, which I don't know how you can feel good about that. But more Pats off-season talk with Gasper coming up next. Do you want to weigh in on any of the QB tiers from Phil Perry? Have at it at 617-779-0985. Headlines here, and then the final hour of Gasper Murray starts next.
WBC bus from the Town Fair Tire Studio, home of the Bruins, Patriots, Rams, and Celtics.
To the corner, fall away three. Got it!
Boston's home for sports is 95.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.